Well, the month of March has been prophecy month on Sunday morning, and we're going to go to the book of Hebrews, and something just jumped out at me as I was reading the book of Hebrews. In case you haven't noticed, I've been ministering from Hebrews quite a bit, but it just seems like you cannot exhaust the truth that we find in the Word of God. It's powerful. But something jumped out at me here. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 26, if you'll turn with me this morning, and you can say amen when you get there. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 9 and verse 26, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once," everybody said once, this is talking about Calvary here, "but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Praise God. I want to title this morning, this is lesson number 3 that we've been looking at. I want to talk about the end of the world. Amen. Now, if you've been here on Sunday morning and you've been following along on prophecy, we went to the Old Testament first. And we looked at the story of Noah and how that relates to our day, where Jesus said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man." And then last week we went to the book of Daniel, and we talked about Daniel's 70 weeks. We talked about, well, we still have it on the chalkboard over here, the image, and I think it was probably a better drawn than that, but it was the image and where we are from prophecy in the Old Testament. And it brings us to Jesus Christ. Daniel's 70 weeks brings us to Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made on Calvary. And so today I want to go from Jesus to the next step, all right? And when he showed up, when he came and he went to Calvary, he came once in the end of the world. Amen. The end of the world. So I want to talk about it here this morning. Let's pray and ask for God's help when we focus on the Word of God this morning. Father, we thank you right now. We ask you to move. We ask you to touch us. We ask you to speak to us this morning. Lay your hand upon this message, upon our hearts and our minds this morning, and we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Doesn't it feel good in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. You know, the end of the world, there are many that are talking about the end of the world today. Many are looking to troubles, and there is much that is being said about troubles in our day. Major earthquakes that are on the horizon. I don't know how true it is, but this just gives us an example that Japan has issued a decree across their country that there is that they feel that there is a major earthquake that is about to happen in Japan, and they're asking people to stock up on their food and all of that. We see many things that are taking place, signs that are preceding the coming of the Lord, and there are those that are predicting a major stock market crash. There are those that feel we are not far from another world war. Troubles all around, troubles on every side. And of course, we have looked at prophecy from the viewpoint of the Old Testament. And as I've already said, Daniel's 70 weeks, 69 weeks, which would be 69 sevens, and when Cyrus decreed that the children of Israel could come back to their homeland, he said it would be 69 weeks until Messiah would be cut off. And it was exactly the number of years, 69 times 7, from the decree of Cyrus until Calvary took place. And yet we have another week, and that one week is called Daniel's week of trouble. Amen. It is talked about in the scripture as a great tribulation that will come upon the earth that the earth has never seen and will never see again. And this thing of the end of the world is not new. It is not new to our generation. But the disciples of the Lord, and not just the disciples of the Lord, but the Jews in general, when we look at it in history and we look at it from the Jewish sages, we understand, and not just that, but from the Word of God, Enoch, which was the seventh from Adam, spoke of a time of trouble that would come upon this world. The Jewish sages believe and state that Adam knew about a worldwide flood and about the destruction of the earth by fire. And so it is not new, it is not a brand new thing that the Jews are saying or that Jesus came and they talked about the end of the world. They understood that the world was made by God, and they understood that there would be much wickedness upon the earth and that the Lord would cause the end of this world as we know it. And so let's look at that. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 1. There's some things, and I want to look at it here from the standpoint of prophecy and where we are today. And this takes us from Jesus through the course of time to today. And Jesus went out, Matthew 24 and verse 1. And by the way, Matthew 24 is the chapter of prophecy in the book of Matthew. All of chapter 24 and much of chapter 25 is speaking about prophecy. And it says, Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not yet all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and notice, and of the end of the world? They understood that there would be a final day that this world would exist. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers or different places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And so the question here is, what is the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? The sign of his coming, he began to answer these questions. The disciples understood that the world would end at some point in time, and Jesus gave us a few things to look at. Number one, he talked about the destruction of the temple. Now, again, we're very blessed here this morning because we have history to look back upon. When we talked about the image that Daniel saw, we are blessed to look back and see where we are in biblical history. And Jesus talked about the destruction of the temple. If you remember, they went back and they rebuilt their temple, but now because of sin, the Lord was going to use the Romans to come and destroy the temple and carry the Jews away captive. Historically, that happened in 70 AD. It's already taken place. That's why you hear so much talk about the temple, because the temple has been destroyed for nearly 2,000 years now. And Jesus said it would happen and that it would be a sign of the end of the world. Amen. It was in answer to their question, what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? And let's just be clear here this morning. There are some that say that the rapture is not going to take place anymore, that it took place in 70 A.D., and that the coming of the Lord was in 70 A.D., but that is not true. Amen. The devil is not bound. We are not in the millennium. Amen. And if you hear anybody talk about anything like that, you can understand that that is not the case. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Not only that, he said, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And so this is a sign of his coming and of the end of the world. Amen. There were many beliefs in the Old Testament in the heathen nations, but it has never happened in our generation that there are people that have risen up and said, this is Christ, or I am Christ. I'm old enough now to remember Sung Young Moon, and he called himself God, and his people worshiped him. As far as I know, he's still alive and still has a few people that are ignorant enough to follow him. I don't say that in a critical way. But deception. And Jesus said they're going to come and say, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Everybody said many. They're going to deceive many. And the reason they're going to deceive many is because they don't know the voice of their shepherd. Amen. They don't have a close relationship with the Lord and a close relationship with the Word of God. I'm really proud of these young people that memorize Scripture. I think every one of us need to have Scriptures memorized. Amen. I really do. Because there is a deception in our world. There is a deception among the young people of our world. There is a deception among older people. And we are seeing it come to pass right before our very eyes. And the Antichrist is going to come upon the scene. We're going to talk about that next week. But it is imperative this morning that we understand the voice of our Savior. Amen. Somebody said amen. He said they will know my voice. They will not know the voice of a stranger. And many strangers are going to come and they're going to say this, that, and the other. And we need to go that way and follow them. And there will even be those that will be able to call fire down from heaven. The Antichrist will be able to perform miracles in the sight of men. But folks, we've got to have a deep understanding of the Word of God. We've got to understand prophecy. It's very important that we understand at least a basic understanding of prophecy so that when these things begin to come to pass, amen. We was at the hospital last night visiting with Greg and Tiffany, and somebody came in, and he said, I need to scan your arm. And, of course, she had a band around her arm, and he scanned it, and all of the information came up. And I leaned over to Brother Greg, and I said, one day it's going to be a chip in the hand. Amen. Right now, it's just a band around your arm, but one day it's going to be a chip in the hand. And he responded by saying, never me, I'll never do it. Amen. And it is happening before our very eyes. The country of Scotland is already going to chipping everybody's hand. Amen. It is happening in our world right before our very eyes. And the coming of the Lord is very, very near. Praise God. We'll get to moving here in just a minute. But Jesus said there shall be wars and rumors of wars. And this is really nothing new since Cain killed Abel. There has been fighting against people and the killing of one another. And you say, well, that's happened from the very beginning until today. But I would like to say this morning that there is something that is different about our generation. And that is that we have experienced, not the younger generation, but my generation and the generation before me has experienced two major world wars in which literally millions, hundreds of millions of people have perished in these wars. And I believe that it is a direct sign of the end of the world. Amen. And the world wars have brought a semblance of peace, but we are seeing another rising up, a rising up of China that is exerting its influence around the world, an atheistic country that is communist, is now the second largest economy in the world. Amen. And we are just going along like everything is all right. But I'm telling you what, it is a sign of the coming of the Lord. Somebody said amen. Amen. And it tells us of the hour that we're living in. And then it says, nation shall rise against nation. You say, well, that's nothing new as well. It's been from the very beginning that nations would rise against nations, kingdom against kingdoms, and so on and so forth. But he adds something to this, and he adds the natural calamities such as famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in different places. Amen. And we have done a little bit of research into this thing of earthquakes and natural calamities that are coming upon the world, and that the Bible predicts, that the Bible gives us a prediction in Bible prophecy of these things that are going to take place. And I'm going to be reading some scripture here this morning, so don't zone out on me, all right? But let's go to Isaiah chapter 24 and verse 16. Isaiah chapter 24, verse 16. I'm going to read down through verse 23. And so it's a little bit of a reading here this morning. From the uttermost part of the earth have we heard songs and even glory to the righteous. But I said, my leanness, woe unto me. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Yea, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. And so here you have some in the uttermost parts of the earth are singing songs and singing songs of glory even to the righteous. And so what I see there is that there will be areas of great revival, amen, that are taking place at the end and the shaking of this world. We are seeing a revival in the country of Madagascar. I've mentioned this many times. That they said that if it continues, Madagascar could be the very first apostolic country. Amen. We are seeing great revivals in many, many places. One of our missionaries, Brother Riggin, has been going to Zimbabwe and literally baptized hundreds of pastors. And great revival is breaking out in our world. I saw a little clip of apostolic meeting in the Philippines, and as far as you could see all around, it was people that were praising God and a mighty move of God. And us Americans, we look at what is going on here and we think that's the way it is in the world, but it's really not. Many years ago, back in the 80s, that's probably been about 40 years ago, there were tens of thousands of Chinese that were receiving the Holy Ghost every month in the country of China. China is cracking down right now upon speech and upon religious freedom, and it's simply because the church there has grown very, very rapidly, and it is a threat to their government. And so the Bible says here in Isaiah 24:16, there's going to be singing, there's going to be glory to the righteous, but there's going to be other things that are taking place at the same time. My leanness, woe unto me. And sometimes here in America, that seems to be the way we talk and the way we think. Amen. We look at what is happening in other areas, and then we come to the house of God and we don't see that kind of revival where we are. I don't profess to understand all prophecy, but it looks to me like in the very end, and the image that Daniel saw, it was part iron and part clay. There's going to be parts of the world where there'll be great revival, and there will be parts of the world where there will be leanness. Amen. It is not that there won't be a church, it's just it will be lean. Amen. I'm thankful for the church today. I'm thankful for the church today. And some of you are very concerned. Someone came to me yesterday and said, how can I approach soul winning in a better way? And I want to be used of God. I appreciate that. It means a lot to me as a pastor that somebody is stirred to reach out and to touch somebody with the truth. But five are going to be wise, five are going to be foolish, I see that. I see that in the Word of God, and I wanted to bring that out. But it goes on, and it says, now here's what's surrounding us, those that are lean, those that are not lean. There is something that is surrounding us, and it says, woe unto me, the treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Yea, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. Fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. And now he switches over to the earth in general here. And in general, the world is the treacherous dealers here. And they have dealt very treacherously. We see it all around us. We see the pillaging and the plundering of nations. We're seeing right before our very eyes today the country of Venezuela, who has great riches underneath the ground, resources. It could be a world economic power, but people are literally starving to death, and there is major trouble in that country just south of us. And you say, well, it could never happen to us. It has happened in history, and it can happen again. They say that the inflation rate in Venezuela is $1 million a month, or 1,000,000% a month, rather. And people are going to the dumpsters trying to find a little bit to eat, and it's happening right before our very eyes. The leaders of the country of Venezuela are smuggling out bars of gold that the previous leaders had built up in the prosperity of that country. And the man that led them to this destruction passed away with cancer, but it is reported that he is worth $1 to $2 billion. And so he stole from the people of that country. And the dealers, the treacherous dealers, are going to deal treacherously. Fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. And it shall come to pass that he that fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. And he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the fountains of the earth do shake. Now, here is what is going to happen in the end of time, the end of the world. It's speaking about the earth, speaking about the world in which we live today. There is a feeling, a concept that is all around us that what you do in private is your own business. There is no such thing as sin anymore. There is no such thing as righteousness, right and wrong. Whatever you feel is right, it's right. Whatever you feel is wrong, but you got to keep it to yourself. We are in that situation right now. And I thank God for the goodness of our country, the economy that's doing well. Everybody seems to be doing well. And the theme among politicians is it's the economy. It's the economy. If you can get the economy going, you'll get voted in. But I'm here to tell you, we don't need necessarily a great economy. What we need is righteousness. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. What we need is righteousness, and we need to come back to God in repentance. I've seen the housing bubble, and the housing bubble burst. I saw the dot-com bubble, and the dot-com bubble burst, and we have seen all of those things come up, but nobody's talking about a morality bubble that is in our world. And it is everywhere. It's not just in America. It is infiltrated into Europe. It is infiltrated into the Middle East. It is everywhere. In the Asian countries, it is everywhere. Amen. And here we are in the midst of this, and we are surrounded by it. But don't be in despair this morning, because the Lord is coming. And when the Lord comes and takes his people out of here, it will hasten the end of the world. Amen. And he goes on. It doesn't stop here. For the windows from on high are open, and the fountains of the earth do shake. The earth is utterly broken down. Now think about that. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. Now, that's not just a little bit of movement. That is exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgressions thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. It is so important, folks, that we understand what is coming upon our world, coming upon the godless of our world, coming upon the backsliders of our world, coming upon those that have not given their lives to God and are living for God. Praise the Lord. Roll to and fro like a drunkard, be removed like a cottage. That little phrase there, removed like a cottage. It is a understanding. Let me see if I can find this here. It shall wave to and fro like a hammock. A cottage in the scriptures day was like a hammock, and they would hang it up into the tree, and they would have their bow and arrow, or they would have a gun, and they could watch, and they could look, and they could see. But they were above the beast that could hurt them. And so there are many today that are in their cottage, if you please. We're kind of in our hammock, and we're just kind of resting, and we're taking it easy. There's nothing to be worried about. We can just enjoy every day, enjoy the sunshine that's coming up again today, and looking forward to payday on Friday, amen, looking forward to the weekend, whatever the case is. But I'm telling you, the earth is going to be moved, and it is going to shake, amen. And it says here, it shall wave to and fro like a hammock swung about by the wind, And it is a hanging couch suspended from the trees by cords. And this is according to the Arab keepers of the lands over there, to enable them to keep watch and at the same time to be secure from wild beasts. Amen. And that's what he's talking about right there. The earth is going to move back and forth in a very extreme way, and it is going to be broken. And the Bible says it will be clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. And it shall not, it'll fall and not rise again. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. There is a day that God is going to punish this world. But the good news is this morning, the church is going to be raptured out of here before this all takes place. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. The Lord is going to come for his people. And God is going to punish this world. That is Daniel's 70th, Daniel's week of tribulation. And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days they shall be visited. Now listen to this. This is Bible prophecy from the book of Isaiah concerning our day. Then the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and before his ancients gloriously. And so he talks about the sun and the moon, the sun being darkened and the moon not giving her light. They will be confounded, and many shall fall, and many are going to fall away because the Bible says they do not have a love of the truth. Amen. Folks, we've got to love the truth of the Word of God. We ought to be thankful every time the pastor or a minister preaches Acts 2:38. We ought to be thankful and rejoice and get behind the man of God when he preaches on the oneness of God, when he talks about holiness and talks about separation from the world. We ought to be thankful for that. Amen. Somebody said amen. Amen. Not just thankful, but we need to get it in our heart and understand why he's preaching these things. Get into the book and look at it for yourself. Amen. And Jesus said these things are coming upon the world. Great earthquakes. There is great earthquakes that are coming upon the world. And in fact, I don't have the scripture this morning, but in Revelation, it talks about an earthquake that is so mighty and so powerful that all the cities of the earth will be broken down. Now, you talk about calamity, and you talk about tribulation. That's what's coming upon our world. Amen. And Jesus went on in Matthew chapter 24, and he said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. Now, he didn't say that about Isaiah chapter 24, but he said that about nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines, pestilences, and earthquakes. He said, these signs are the beginning of sorrows. If I could pinpoint where we are in Bible prophecy today, I would say that we are in the beginning of sorrows. There is an anti-Semitic movement in our world today that is against Jews. There is an anti-Christ movement in our world that is against all Christians of any denomination. All you have to do is say the name of Jesus Christ, and in some areas you can be beheaded for that. Amen. And many have been simply because they have a love for God and hold to the Scriptures. Amen. And many are going to fall, and this is the beginning of sorrows. Then, he says, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Amen. We are seeing a United Nations. I know I'm talking about a lot of current events right now, but I believe they go right hand in hand with Bible prophecy. We are seeing a United Nations today that is anti-God. Amen. It is the coming together of all of the nations of the world that feel like that religion and the Bible, the Quran, whatever you want to talk about, well, they don't really put down those that ascribe to the Quran. But if you have a Bible, you're really not welcome in that community. And all the nations of the world are coming together to bring this to pass right before our very eyes. Amen. Can you see how close we are to the coming of the Lord? We are so very, very close to the coming of the Lord. It is incredible. Amen. What does it mean for me? It's going to happen no matter what. Well, I'll tell you what it means for you and I. We need to be on our knees praying and seeking God. Well, praise the Lord. We need to be on our knees seeking God and becoming acquainted with the voice of the Lord, because these are just the beginning of sorrows. There's great trouble facing our world, and it's going to catch the inhabitants by surprise. Now, let's go to another scripture in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 24. Praise the Lord. Matthew 13 and verse 24. It says, "And another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. And so the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. And the servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? He said, No, lest they gather up the tares, you root up the wheat with them. Let them grow together. Everybody said, Let them grow together until the harvest. Amen. Until the harvest. And I will say in the time of harvest to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. You say, well, I've heard that parable before, but what's it really talking about? What it is really talking about is the end of the world. And I'm going to prove that to you here in just a moment. But it's talking about the end of the world. And the end of the world is going to take place just like this parable describes it. Here we are. We are here. He has sown good seed. We have the Word of God this morning. Thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for God, amen, who's given us this Word. From Genesis to maps, it's the Word of God. And I thank God for it this morning. And so he has sown good seed into his field. But isn't it so very true that it seems like it is so easy for the wickedness of our world to proliferate, but it is so difficult for the church to reach out and have revival? You know why? Because we are sown in a world that is filled with tares. Now, this is not negative. It's not negative if you really know the Lord in your life, but you're going to face things on your job. You're going to face things in your family. You're going to face things among your friends, people that you associate with, and you say, Lord, why is it this way? The Lord decided to let them grow together until the harvest. And so they said, well, what about this parable? And in verse 37, go down to verse 37 this morning. Matthew 13 and verse 37, he answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. So that's the Word of God. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. So it's talking about you and I. All right, so the good seed is the children of the kingdom. But notice, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. You say, well, I don't like where I'm at. It might just be that the Lord planted you there for a reason. Praise God. He's the one that sowed the seed and put you where you are. And can I go just a little bit further on this? Amen. The Bible says that God has put specific members in the church according to his will. Do you know it's the will of God that you're here this morning, Gavin, Hunter, Nathan? Amen. It is the will of God that all of us are here. We ought to thank God for each other. Well, praise the Lord. We ought to thank God for the church and not try to find the fault of the church, but amen. Well, I'm thankful for the church here this morning because God has put it here. Amen. It is the Lord that sowed the seed here, and every other congregation which is called a church, which is literally what it is a local assembly. It has been sowed there by God. Amen. Who are we to fight against God? Amen. It might just be that in the midst of it, there are tares. Oh, can you imagine that? There's a hypocrite among us. Can you imagine that? We're all supposed to be Christians. Well, look at all the hypocrites. You know what? The devil sowed those, but it's not the will of God that we kick them out. Amen. But it's the will of God that we grow together. Well, praise the Lord. There's a time for that, but it's not something that we do every week. Thank God for that. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. All right? So he's talking about the end of the world. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. Don't worry about anybody else. Worry about yourself. Come on, somebody, help me this morning. We need to pray for ourselves. Jesus said, don't weep for me, weep for yourself and for your children. Praise God, because there is the end of the world that is coming, and it hasn't happened yet, but it is coming. And he's going to send his angels, gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's how serious this matter is. Praise God. That's how serious this matter is. But we're living in a generation today that is not taking the Word of God very seriously. And not only that, we are seeing those within the body of the church that are not taking it very seriously either. We've had folks come and go, as it is in every church. And yesterday I was out doing some things, getting some supplies. We're putting new carpet in the Sunday school area, and I thank God for all the men that helped. And it looks really nice. Go check it out after church. But I was at Walmart getting a few supplies, and there was somebody that's been to our church. They love the church. They don't have anything bad to say about the church. Everything is all right as far as that goes. But we just haven't seen them in a while. And I said, hi, how are you doing? We sure have been missing you folks. And they said, well, we really don't have an excuse. We've just been lazy. I'm telling you, that's where we're at in our generation today. How do you motivate someone that's lazy? Amen. How do you get somebody that is lazy. One preacher said he saw a lazy devil. Now, I don't know about all that, but he was known for seeing angels and demons, and he said he saw a lazy devil, and he rebuked it, and he said the devil got up and just kind of slowly walked out of the church because he wasn't too enthused about anything, just lazy. Amen. Did you know in the Bible that laziness and wickedness go together? They go together. They go hand in hand together. Well, somebody said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The day of the end of the world is coming. And I hope that I am the dead in Christ, but it really doesn't matter if I'm not. Amen. Because the dead in Christ are going to go first. I'd like to go first. Amen. I'd like to be in the front of the line. But if not, I don't mind being the last one as long as I get to go. Praise God. Amen. And I fear that this generation is faced with things that other generations have not been faced with. Young people, get a hold of Bible prophecy. Get a hold of it. Look around and say, the Lord is coming soon. He could come this very day. He could come before we have service here tonight. Amen. The end of the world is going to happen someday. Amen. Revelation 16 and verse 10. Sister Reed, would you come this morning? Revelation 16 and verse 10. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. This is one of the angels that pours out a vial of the wrath of God upon this world. And they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores and repented not of their deeds. That's the coming of the Lord right there. That is where we are today, where people curse God because of their troubles. What we ought to do is thank God we're in the church.